it's not great, so this angle looks really bad. And he's giving him a spray while he's doing it too. So it's one thing to try and dominate the opposition physically and mentally. That's not the way to go about it, though. That, to me, is a really bad look for the game. So it's at the top end of fines, if not. It'll be interesting to see how the tribunal interprets that, because that is as bad a look as we could possibly have, I think.
That is the voice of the chieftain, Jason Dunstall, the Grant Hawthorn champion on AFL 360 last night on Fox Footy. And he was referring to the incident with Jack Viney and Sam Collins in their game across the weekend. The MRO has decided that they would charge Jack Viney with serious misconduct against Sam Collins. In summary, it's been referred directly to the tribunal. The incident was assessed as serious misconduct. The incident was classified as direct referral to the tribunal and a player cannot accept an early plea. So he's got to go and tell us what the hell he was doing. Johnny Ralph will be all over that from the Herald Sun and Fox Footy. He joins us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Buzz.
Hello, Harth. Hello, Whitey. I wouldn't be upset if that was a 2 or a 3 week suspension. Well, what a terrible look for the game. You know, it's the softest part of someone's body and, you know, so sensitive in regards to the throat and the trachea and all those things. And it's the, you know, the hardest part of a body in terms of an elbow that's being forced in there. You know, the only mitigating circumstance is that, you know, Collins wasn't really injured and, you know, didn't really feel a significant amount of force in regards to the medical impact. But so the early indications last night were that, you know, that it wasn't a $3,000 fine, but the AFL might just bump it up to serious misconduct, give him a week, you know, everyone moves along. You know, I just made a few more investigations, you know, last night, and I think that they're really keen to make a stand here, you know, whether it's they ask for a 2 week, whether they ask for a 3 week suspension. You know, I think they really feel like this is a terrible look. Now, Andrew Dillon would set that policy with Jeff Gleeson, who's the prosecutor for the AFL, for want of a better expression. But, you know, the word going around last night as well, you know, last night was almost, you know, this is almost George Floyd stuff. You know, this is the kind of thing that could have caused serious damage for Sam Collins from the Gold Coast. And, you know, we need to, you know, put a line in the sand to make sure that no one ever does it again.
I saw Sam yesterday. He was looking okay. So the good news is he's okay. that's true, by the way. It's a horrible look. And we can really simplify this, Ralph. You know, we can't do it midstream. I understand that. But at the end of the season, we just need to introduce football and non-football acts. And if you commit a non-football act that is seen as outside the laws, you get a week before you start and then we'll deal with you. That's the simplest way to do it. It's the Buddy Franklin elbow from last week, and it's this sort of stuff. You get a week before you start, and then we'll have a think about the rest of it.
I love that idea because I just think about these kind of things. I mean, we all know it with our kids. You know, every single time that they see something a bit weird like that, and unfortunately, you know, this is the way that the media, it'll be replayed a lot of times. So the kids say, oh, that looks interesting. Oh, geez, you know, rather than just holding my opponent down, oh, I might experiment with that, you know. For the sake of an extra week for Jack Viney, you know, for however many million kids across the competition to think, oh, this is absolutely unacceptable. I've been critical of the tribunal, and I was critical of them again to throw out the Buddy Franklin suspension. Now, I still have no faith that they would actually suggest that 2 or 3 weeks is an appropriate penalty. But yeah, you're right. You know, there are so many things out there that happen in a split second. No one in football would think that as he leant over Collins for what I think the AFL timed it to be 5 or 6 seconds, that he thought this is something that's appropriate in football.
So I'm going to ask both of you a question. What was a more serious incident, Jack Viney or Lance Franklin? I know they were different, but what was the more serious? What's the one you're more concerned about?
Well, I'm concerned about things that can cause significant damage, and so that's why it's hard, because, you know, you can break someone's throat, or, you know, I'm not a doctor, and clearly by that expression that shows that's not to be the case, but, you know, Lance Franklin throws his elbow back and he cracks someone's cheekbone and he's out for 6 weeks. So both of them have potentially serious consequences, which is why I think they both deserve to be suspended. But one of them, with the look of it, as Harf says, probably gets an extra week because of the knock-on effect for all the kids out there.
Like, I think the Lance's was more dangerous, but at least it was in play.
Yeah.
Jack's was out of play, not required at any level, and decides to do it. Like, it's a really stupid thing to do.
To me, it's one of those things that it's going to be really hard if Viney gets a suspension and Franklin doesn't, because that doesn't feel right to me. To me, again, if you go all the way back to the way it used to be, I reckon it's 1 for Franklin, it's 2 for Viney.
Yeah, and I think we would all agree with that, wouldn't we? So once again, how do we get to a situation where the tribunal makes sense? How do we get to a situation where the tribunal, having been given a penalty that was really, really hard for them to downgrade, you know, capacity to cause serious injury means that it has to be immediate impact. And they just, you know, don't even really consider what the AFL's table of offences is and say, no, it's fine. It wasn't really medium impact, which no one was ever trying to say was medium impact. And they let Franklin off. I mean,
yeah, but this is the whole. Yeah. But this is
well,
the whole.
That was a precedent situation last week.
That's right.
They made a rod for their own back at the start of the year, Buzz, on that one.
But when you start trying to tick boxes and massage the boxes to suit the outcome, that's when you're going to find yourself in trouble from a consistency perspective. And I know why it was all set up in the first place by Adrian Anderson to try and create consistency. But sometimes it just becomes a common sense thing. And I think, you know, you get a week for Franklin for what he did because it was kind of in play and that was kind of out of play, kind of in play. But the Viney one, that was just he clearly knew what he was doing. So you get a week for that to start with, and then you get another week for what the action actually was. Bang, 2 weeks, off you go.
I'd be happy if you got 2 weeks. You know, if you got 3 weeks, I'd say, oh, well, you know, he gets an extra week of stupidity. But would we all feel like two is probably about right?
Oh, look, I must admit, it's a week for me. I mean, without the football, non-football stuff, I think it's a week because, you know, you talk about potential for damage. He wasn't really going to cause too much damage, but it was unsightly, unnecessary. And you know, I'm happy to get him if I need to, Buzz, but he wasn't going to squash his cheek. Like, he's just putting some pressure on to make a statement, really. Like, it was a stupid thing to do, and he should be suspended for it. But I'm not sure it's a two-weeker. If Buddy gets off, you can't give him two for that.
Yeah, I mean, they're apples and oranges. I mean, it's all, you know, the medical report would say that he wasn't injured, but I'm not here for you to just be leaning on my, you know, throat.
No, I understand. That's why you get a week.
Your elbow.
There's a good text here. There's heaps of them that are coming through, but this one kind of stands out. Buddy's was really careless, but Viney was clearly deliberate, and there was malice in it. And I think that's the feeling I have there.
Yeah, but Buddy's was more dangerous, so then it balances up.
Yes, but I think instinctively, Franklin a little bit one, Viney knew what he was doing, shouldn't have done it too. Move on.
Right, I'm happy with one.
Hawthorn situation, Ralphie. How do you feel about all of this? Because you were the one that kind of took Clarko on a bit about how it was all going to unfold initially when the announcement was made. And now the dust has settled, where do you sit on it all?
Isn't it funny, isn't it? Any journo who reluctantly trusted Alistair Clarkson is now painted to be the bad guy that, oh, well, went hook, line and sinker and all those out there that had other mail, you know, were the virtuous ones. It was an amazing story and a great get by Caro there. But I still think it's possible to say that the Hawks totally buggered up the succession plan. You know, it was preposterously stupid to think it was ever going to work. But that doesn't mean that Sam Mitchell and Jeff Kennett were liars. You know, Mitchell said, you know, Mitchell still denies to this day that I didn't say I wanted Clarko out. And Jeff Kennett said, look, no, we're not going to pay out, you know, Jeff Kennett. Oh, I think those things are true. You know, what the Hawthorn belief is that Clarko never wanted to be in this. They were probably naive to think that there was ever a chance that he would stay and that he worked, whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's just in his own, you know, unique way, whether it was absolutely blatantly, to just blow this thing up. Now, you know, they keep thinking, we keep going back through our own situations where there were meetings where only a couple of people from Hawthorn were involved with Clarkson or his manager. They weren't leaking because, you know, all that would have done was destabilise, you know, the situation. And somehow, connect the dots, follow the money, you know, those stories became public. And after a while, it just became really untenable for Clarkson to be there. And he got exactly what he wanted, which was $900,000, you know, albeit over 2 years, which might mean that the Hawks never have to pay a cent. So it's a bit unfair on Sam Mitchell, who hasn't really done a lot wrong, apart from being naive himself, to think that it could ever work. You know, make of it what you want with Jeff Kennett. You know, he's ugly enough and old enough to defend himself. But I still don't think I think if you're looking for a guilty party, I think that it was clearly Clarko that was desperate to get out of this from the start. And maybe that's just that's what they should have just done.
Yeah, well, I think the whole problem with this, Buzz, and I have no insight from within the walls there at Hawthorn at all, but my sense of all of this is that they panicked when Collingwood approached Mitchell, didn't want to lose him because he, in their minds, he was the heir apparent that was going to come through and take over. That's scared them into somehow finding a way to keep him and promising him the job. They were chasing tail to try and organise the deal. They put the deal together without even really getting the detail through it. Therefore, it was doomed from the start, and then they played catch-up on trying to work out how it looked, which annoyed everyone in the process. And Clarko quite rightly says, hang on a second, I'm a 17-year full-time premiership coach around here, and you're doing this to me and you don't even know what's happening? Are you kidding? And then you end up with the situation we should have had at the start. If they didn't want him to be there at the end of next year, pay him out for that year and like Mitch take over. So we end up where we probably should have, but with a whole lot of pain and angst along the way.
No, I think all that's right. And maybe, you know, maybe Sam Mitchell wanted a very quick decision when, you know, the Collingwood subcommittee was coming to him and suggested, look, you know, are you interested in being in the process? I mean, if you look at a person across the world who is less suited to this succession plan, well, I can't find one other than Alistair Clarkson. You know, that was never going to work. So let's not defend Hawthorn too much. And, you know, some people have said they've been unfairly maligned all the way along. It was idiotic. It was never going to work.
No.
But I just think some people have been thrown under the bus there. Yeah, they should have just said, righto, Clarko, what do you want to do? And he would have said, look, this can't work. If you've chosen him, then I move on. And they say, okay, we find a financial settlement which allows us potentially to escape from paying you all $900,000. So, look, the problem for Hawthorn is that Clarko has worn on them. You know, Clarko is so hard to deal with. You know, he's a super coach, and we saw with that match day stuff. But they have seen over the last 5 years, okay, we know all of the things that people say he's incredible at, but it's really hard to plan with him. You know, it's really hard to rebuild a club when he keeps saying, no, we want the next premiership. And they've also seen that, you know, having given him all of the money in the world to secure these, you know, established players, well, they haven't won a final in 5 years. And so they would say, okay, well, you see the super coach who pulls off this masterful, you know, exit against Brisbane. We see the bloke who's bloody impossible to deal with, who's seen a lot of our senior staff, like Graham Wright, had to actually move on because, you know, it's tough to work with Clarko. And where's the on-field results? We haven't got it. So we need to rebuild now. We need to do it. It's going to take 5 years. And we can't see a single way in which Clarko will be here for 5 years. And so when you put it like that, you could sort of understand their decision, even though most of us go, you still just sacked the best coach in history.
Don't underestimate the role of the players in all of this as an unexpected sort of curveball and that's not the players necessarily being critical of Clarko, but more the uncertainty. And we spoke to Ben McAvoy about that last week, and he was quite open about it, and other players have spoken about it. And we've seen the up and down results from Hawthorn in recent weeks, that whole thing about transitioning from one to the other and the confusion that was going to make. I reckon they underestimated the impact that was going to have on the players, and maybe that saw a few changes take place as well. Now, I'm sort of opening Pandora's box here a little bit, Ralphie. Nick Del Santo becoming the AFLW coach at St Kilda, because, look, you can look at it two ways here. It's a great result for St Kilda to have one of their favourite sons coming back to coach, but it also has caused some consternation.
Yeah, it has, and you're right, it is so sensitive because there are so many females out there who very rightly are absolutely furious that AFL clubs aren't putting in females as coaches. And everyone keeps saying, you know, on the other side, oh, well, it's just the best candidate. You know, we can't have a situation where, you know, that best candidate has emerged 14 times as a man. It's really hard because, you know, when I talk to clubs out there and I say, well, this is ridiculous because it seems to be ridiculous, they say, yeah, but the girls themselves want to be coached in the best possible way. And when we line up the candidates, it's mostly or almost males. And we'd love to get to a situation where that's not the case, but it is right now. So all I would say is that's a cop-out to say, yeah, it's just the best candidate. So Nick Del Santo gets the gig at St Kilda. That's fantastic. But we need to find a way where, you know, it's not just $50,000, which the AFL is allowing out of the soft cap. The AFL is mandating clubs to spend multiple hundred thousand dollars every year to absolutely forcibly fast-track these women out there who we know are good enough, but just probably need a little bit more time. So that's an easy solution to just say out there, but how long is that going to take? Is that going to take 10 years? Is it going to take 15 years? Surely there are girls who are exiting the AFLW programs who have done, you know, really good coaching stuff, and we need to make an absolute priority that whether it's next year, whether it's the year after, that we have, you know, a significant number of AFLW coaches who are female, because, you know, what you can't see, you can't be, and I can understand why they're angry.
It's an interesting space. It is. Well, it is. It is, because there's an element of supply and demand. There's an element of opportunity. There's an element of experience and pathway that is still being developed for a lot of female coaches out there. And look, it's a terrific industry to be involved in. And I think one of the things that surprised a lot of men is how intoxicated. I've talked to you about this on and off air for years, Whitey, that the whole women's footy thing is. It's a pure brand of footy and environment for footy. And once you're in it, if you've been involved in men's footy, it's such a different beast that you actually become quite, you fall in love with it really quickly. So I'm not surprised that there's more there's guys wanting to be a part of it. Now, I don't know who Nicky Dow was up against. I've got no idea who applied for that job or who we beat in the contention for that job. On the surface, he's a legend of the club, as you say. He's an ultimate professional, fastidious operator and preparer. Clearly knows the game inside out. I have no real idea of his coaching experience outside of the NGA stuff and some AIS stuff. And maybe there's a soft cap element too, because he's employed with the NGA and there's a couple of layers to it perhaps. But I think there's a whole lot of layers to the conversation. And this is nothing on Nick Del Santo. There should be zero heat on Nick Del Santo here.
I agree.
Absolutely zero heat.
Give us the Carlton example. You know, how many staff have you got at the moment? And again, you're very restricted because of soft cap. You know, do you guys use up the $50,000? You know, that I think has only just come in regards to being able to, you know, apply. Because if it's me, I'm thinking, I love Daniel Harford. I'm happy he's a coach. He showed it that he gets it done. But he should have, you know, he shouldn't not have male AFLW assistant coaches. But God, he needs a battery of females as well, because they need to actually aspire to be the person that stabs him in the back and steals his job at some stage.
Well, I've got one that I want to stab me in the back. Lauren Moorcroft, who is my senior assistant at the Blues, she will be an AFLW coach, and I will be fast-tracking that while we're trying to at the moment. But even she says she's 12, 24 months away from being ready to run a program of that scale. So it's not just being a coach. You're running a program of significant scale, which is another management component as well that goes into it. And these are the things that I've learned through the journey. So I understand the heat in the conversation, and there is a lot of stuff being done behind the scenes to try and fast-track and open the pathways for female coaches. I don't know who he was up against. Got no idea how many female coaches applied. There's a couple in the VFL doing some cool things. Whether or not they applied, I don't know.
And there should be no heat on St Kilda, because they had Peter Searle in that role. So it's not like they're scared of putting a female in as head coach. I at the end of the day, I'm sure that every supporter of the club that they support would want the best person doing the job.
Yeah, and I think that the difficulty too is that, you know, like I had the experience yesterday where I, you know, wrote really strongly about, you know, what a ridiculous comment. Rita Panahi talked about how we don't, you know, I don't rate any sports. She said that 5 years ago, that it's involving females. And I just said the AFL needs to find a way to actually fund these, you know, AFL women, because we see how extraordinary the Olympians are as well. But then you write a story where you said, well, Nick Del Santo, he's going to be the coach. And, you know, there is a view amongst the clubs that they want the best possible coaching. Didn't they come for me? And that's fine.
Well, no, you made an error, John. You wrote in your story the two worst words that female sports participants and lovers ever want to hear, that a women's sporting job is a stepping stone. You referenced stepping stone in your article, and that was the error you made, young man.
Okay, so I put my hand up and do that. But the competition is a bit of a political football. And so, you know, so I would still think that I think it's a great conversation to be had openly, and I'm sure I'll try and have it with Lisa Alexander and Sybil today. But it's about, you know, how we get better about this. But even just waiting, just dipping your toe into that territory, even making a mistake as I did yesterday, is something that I think a lot of people just say it's a bit too hard. You know, the last thing you want to do is actually get howled down and say, right, okay, just go back to writing about, you know, Tom DeConnick's hamstring.
Which is okay. It's going to be okay.
I don't have the same issue with you writing stepping stone, because I think that is a reality.
Well, it's not. You look at the people involved in charge of the AFLW programs at the moment, the coaches. Not one has gone on to be a part of the men's program that wasn't already there.
But clubs will use it as a stepping stone. Of course they will.
But I don't think they will, because it's not the end goal. It's not what it should be. Like, I have zero interest. We've been through this. I have zero interest in coaching men's footy. And you look at all the other ones. None of them are going to the men's program, so they're not using it as a stepping stone.
But Daniel, it would be sensible for clubs to use the AFLW program as a stepping stone.
Use the VFL program as a stepping stone.
Well, they can use that as well.
Like Hawthorn are doing with Sam Mitchell. That's what you'd use. Because coaching women is different to coaching men, so it's not a stepping stone. You coach men and coach in the VFL, or you coach women and you coach the VFLW or the AFLW.
But to keep a Nick Del Santo inside the bounds of the St Kilda Football Club, that is a way of developing his skills.
That's
not being disrespectful. Yeah. That's reality. And that might be the case also if another club put an AFL put a female in as coach of the women's program, that might be a stepping stone also to the AFL men's program.
That's not what the AFLW competition should be.
So here's the solution. You know, you talk to people like Sharni Layton who say that, you know, the only way that we actually upskill ourselves, and so you see us out there like Jess Fox, and obviously we're on track for that, and we've got some amazing people out there, is for us to get contact hours. So you've got a senior assistant coach, that's great. So if the AFL says, part of you having an AFLW club is that you would spend at least $200,000 per season on AFLW coaches who are female, and all it means is that all of your girls out there who are desperate for contact hours, desperate for, you know, if it is that they can get off their jobs and do an hour of training at 2 o'clock in the afternoon as well as their normal stuff, they've got someone there. I mean, we can't just talk around it. We actually have to mandate that the clubs spend money on it. Otherwise, too many will just do what St Kilda did with Nick Dalsano.
200,000. Can we just put that into the cap at the moment and just sort of divvy it up to who's there? That'd be nice too. It's about four times what we're getting at the moment, Ralphie, but we're doing it because we love it. Footy's great and we love when you're on the program with us. We know you've got Gareth and Courtney coming up later on this morning on the Tuesday Hacks on RSN Central, so we better let you get ready for that. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. I just feel like this morning's a stepping stone to...
Don't be using those words, John. You'll get more feedback on Twitter. Johnny Ralph from the Herald Sun and Fox Footy with us on a Tuesday morning.